Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'm joined by George Lampy, Ted Robinson, Stan Godwin, Patricia Maslin, and even former Millwall chairman Jeff Burnage of No One Likes Us Talking. Jeff, lovely to have you with us as a new addition, and a wonderful week for us all to look back on.
Ted's not here, Johnny, I'm afraid.
Sorry, Ted's not here. I was looking around going, where is he? What's going on?
He's still recovering from the England victory, that's what he is.
But a disappointing result again late on. It was a good performance. It was looking like a result against all odds, and suddenly, capitulation.
Yeah, well, we played very well. I was quite happy, and it was encouraging, the performance. But yeah, these late goals have been a killer for us this season. We must have lost something in the region, I would imagine. We're looking at the guys, I'm just trying to think, something like 20 points this season with late goals.
In the last 10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, if it was 80-minute game, we'd be laughing.
Maybe you should petition FIFA if we change the rules.
No, well, the thing is, that you see, where we fall down, we need to close the game down at 10 minutes from the end. That's what we failed to do. And principally, we failed to do it because we keep giving the ball away, which don't help. But that's what we need to do, is to start closing the game down.
And in terms of doing that, what's the solution? Is it a case of not being too fancy with it, going long? Is it a case of kicking people? Is it a case of faking cramp? What's the solution?
Well, it's not. No, it certainly ain't going long, because what happens, you're playing in a division now where most of the teams play the ball along the floor and they're good at keeping the ball. And the trouble is when anyone plays long ball games, and I can't stand it, but when they do, you give the ball away, and against some of these teams, it's a long time before you get the ball back. But all I'm saying is there are times when we get the ball, instead of going balmy, just knock it about, just play it all, you know, take things into the corners and all that. That's what you got to do.
This was a game against Leeds, who, of course, have been massively rated by basically everyone under Bielsa this season, not least because he's had someone hiding in the bush every time before he's faced a team, which will help. But was it a free hit? I mean, it's a disappointing loss, but were you expecting anything?
No.
Well, I don't know, really, because our record against Leeds is pretty good.
There weren't much between us, actually.
No, that's right.
I gave 2-2 last week as a prediction, and I think that should have been the score. There wasn't a big difference between the two teams, not considering our positions in the division.
No.
You have to try, don't you, to find a way to play out the game in the other team's half. Easy to say, not so easy to do, but we have appeared to sit back on a few of these games. And it appears to invite pressure, doesn't it? But we aren't the only team that tries to do that, keep it tight and so on, and pack the penalty area. But we seem to have paid a heavy price for doing that. And maybe the front players, or front player, if it's only one, they haven't got the legs in the last 10 minutes to run after everything they have in the first 45 minutes and win something at the far end of the pitch so that we're actually playing up there. Maybe that's it, but I'm sure it's something that the management staff know all about. And, you know, let's hope that our luck turns and we start getting some late ones ourselves.
Neil was made quite a lot of substitutions towards the end of games where he actually tries to hold out for the result. It just seems to have backfired on him on many occasions.
This was something we discussed after the Brighton game, wasn't it? Where you were sort of suggesting that actually if he hadn't tried to close the game out with substitutions, you might have been all right.
Well, I mean, that's exactly right, yes. Because what he had done in that case, although he tried to, you know, run the game down, once we went into extra time, we never had the legs, did we? He had taken off of all of our pacey players, but that was just unfortunate. But he has tried to bring people on where he's tried to close the game down, run out the time, and he's just been unfortunate.
Well, it worked at Derby and it worked at Birmingham. Everyone forgets that because it didn't work at Leeds, right? And it didn't work in the home against Brighton. So, look, I don't think we should make too much of it. Very tempting to say, oh, we'd have 20 more points if it was after 80 minutes. But we've scored some late ones ourselves as well. But it does seem to have cost us this season. Some late, late goals. It does.
And with those games against Brighton and Leeds, you can obviously look at it, as you say, as drop points and late goals and it being frustrating. But there's another element there, which is Millwall were only undone by a late goal against Premier League opposition in Brighton and against promotion-chasing opposition in Leeds. So does that give you something, in a sense, to feel confident about?
Oh, very much so. I mean, you know, Leeds are... I think Leeds are going to be possibly go up to the Premier League this season. You know, whether it's by the playoffs. I mean, and then in some respects, they're, what, the third biggest city in the country or in England. So you'd expect them to be pushing on and getting 34,000 people in there. They can pay enormous wages to players compared to us. But, yeah, it's a difficult one. And our game, there was very little between us and them on Saturday that we could, you know, we could come away with that game saying, all right, we lost at the end, we were disappointed. But I think there was a lot of encouragement and we played very well, I think, as a team.
We did play well, but I'd rather we played terrible and got a result. And I think the players will have felt that, the manager will have felt that. There's days when you can play well, when you know when you get the violins out. If that's the right expression, what am I trying to say?
Yeah,
but the Brighton game. I have to say, I wasn't here when you discussed the Brighton game, but you know, I had to find some comfort from what happened there, and I think our chances of staying in this division have increased by not being in the semi-final tomorrow or this weekend. I think that would have been a big distraction, an extra emotional drain on players. When we got to the final in 2004, after the semi-final, we never won a game.
No, that's true, Jeff.
Right,
that's true. But there is a difference, and I don't subscribe to this theory about the FA Cup being a distraction. I've never subscribed to that theory, but I do accept in 2004 that was the case because normally, and I'd be interested to see. We've got the semi-finals this weekend. And I'd be interested to know when the final's due to be played. But I think back in 2004, we had something like about five games before the final. And yeah. I accept that without a doubt, but I wouldn't accept that. If we'd have beaten Brighton, I wouldn't have accepted. If we go down this season, it won't be because of the cup run.
No,
it's because we haven't been good enough.
You might.
I was clutching at straws. Right, I was. I needed to find some silver lining.
But it
in
sounded
losing
so good,
from 2-0 up.
Shouldn't have admitted it. I bought it. Hook, line,
you,
and sinker.
You might not be disappointed about tomorrow, but Pat is. She's already disappointed. She was looking forward to going to Wembley.
I mean, it's over £1 million, isn't it? Wembley appearance.
Yeah. So staying up.
Oh.
It's,
yeah.
It's probably even more. It's probably even more.
Well, I get that. But all I'm saying is, this business about, you know, oh well, it's only the cup and whatever. I don't just don't subscribe to that view.
Well, let's see if Brighton go down.
Well,
if they go down, I'm right.
But it's a good example, though, Brighton, because if we look, I just had the guys from Chelsea in for the Chelsea fan show. And if we look at Brighton against Chelsea, spanked 3-0, not their strongest team, Head wasn't in the game. So there might be an element of this cup.
But then, as I said before, if you take Wigan, right? Wigan, every year was always fighting against relegation. They only got to the cup final the once, all right, they won it. But what I'm saying is, if we'd have beaten Wigan, right, and in the semi-final, and we'd have gone there again, Wigan might have not. But if they hadn't have gone down that season,
they'd have gone down.
So that's what. So I don't subscribe to that.
You almost proved my point there. Wigan fight relegation every season. The one season they fought unsuccessfully was when they got to Wembley.
But the point he's making is that it's a coincidence. He's saying, I think we're going to have a row. We're going to continue having a row, but we're going to have a row after the break with an added member of the team, because I'm delighted to say that Adrian Forbes, former Millwall midfielder, will be on the line.
This is Love Sport. We're back.
It hasn't been perfect off the pitch recently for Millwall, but there have been some good pieces of news, and one involves a young lad called Harvey Brown, who, George, I gather, has been named Southwark Young Citizen of the Year.
He has indeed, and we all love our Harvey Brown at Millwall, and we're very fond of him. And getting this award, he was nominated by Aidan Andrews, which was well done, Aidan. And he's going to be presented by the Mayor of Southwark at the Cathedral on 18th of May, and his family and everybody will be very happy and proud of him, as we all are as a Millwall family. He's a very special young man, actually.
Amazing. So what's his story? Why is he Citizen of the Year?
To be really honest, I really couldn't tell you. I didn't even know he'd
nice
been nominated. But we just all love him so much that we don't really care.
So
we're
just a nice boy. I need to try a bit harder. If I'm Citizen of the Year by being lovely, I'm doing something very, very wrong. Maybe I can step my game up here. We're joined on the line by Adrian Forbes, who is a former Millwall midfielder. Evening, Adrian. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Were you disappointed by the result at the weekend?
Yes, I was, to be honest with you. Yes, I was. Obviously, you're looking at that and you're thinking that it's a situation where it could work out. Selfishly, is a good result for Norwich. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's now a case of the team need to look at the next few games coming up and put in the same sort of performances and see if they can get more positive results.
And with that in mind, looking ahead to next weekend, is this a chance for Millwall to build on something? I mean, West Brom are another example of a promotion chasing team, quite tough opposition, but do you think there's a chance for some points there?
Well, I think you've got to take the positives from last week, and that, you know, Leeds are obviously right near the top of the table, evidently a good squad of the group, good group of players, and they're putting some real positive performances. But Millwall managed to match them for a majority of the game, so it's now a case of trying to find that consistency almost up in their game again against the top club, and who knows what can happen. You know, West Brom will be looking at it, trying to cement their place within the top half of the table, still looking to get that promotion. But I see no reason why. Right, same attitude, same work effort by the Millwall team. You know, you could get that positive result.
Hello, Adrian. Of course, you've gone down in history, actually. I was looking at your record, and you scored the last goal at the Vetchfield, didn't you?
I certainly did, yes, back in the Swansea days, yes, I did.
Were you waiting for someone to mention that, Adrian?
Well, I'm not going to lie, it's one of the most positive parts of my career, so yeah, I'll still dine out on that when I can, for sure. But it was against a certain Joe Hart as well, so that adds a little bit of it.
Yes, he would have been a youngster then, wouldn't he? Yes.
He was only 15 then, wasn't he, I think? So like that. But look,
that's probably the only reason I managed to score past him.
Did you see the game Norwich against Millwall at Carrow Road this season?
I did indeed, yes.
We've been talking about Millwall conceding late goals, right? We were leading against Leeds and lost. We were leading injury time at Carrow Road and lost.
Yes.
Were you dead lucky or did we give it away?
I think it's been interesting because if you look at actually Norwich over the course of the season, we've been, you know, a team that has actually kept going and have scored a lot of goals. I'm not sure the exact number, but it'd be interesting to see how many goals we have scored after 90 minutes. But I think on the day, it was just the most random game of football you've ever seen. The goals that went in, I would say there was an element of luck to it, but it was almost an element of, as well as Millwall almost thinking it's job done, and Norwich having a mentality and an attitude that, you know, the old cliche is not over until the fat lady sings. You know, Norwich looked it, referee has not blown that full-time whistle, and we're going to keep going until he does so. But, you know, if you were to look at the stats and look at the season, it would be interesting to see where Millwall would be in the table if they had managed to keep those results, shall we say, before the 90 minutes came around, because I'm sure it would make much more positive reading for the team.
Well, it would. It would, but
you're at the opposite end to us. So where we've let all the goals in, you know, all season long, right at the death. You guys have been scoring all season long, right at the death, haven't you?
We have, and you know that's the beauty of this squad at the moment. It is a group of players that seem to have a real camaraderie within the group and a real confidence and belief in each other. And I think that has shone throughout the course of the season. And there's been certain games where it's looking like, you know, 85, 89 minutes, it's looking like, oh, we're going to have to settle for a draw. And then, you know, the likes of Teemu Pukki will just pop up with some exquisite finish that no one expected. And I think that's been a real positive for Norwich, you know, throughout the course of the season. And ultimately, it's those sorts of element of luck, the never-say-die attitude and keep going, which has put them in a position where, you know, we're looking in a strong position for promotion.
Well, I'd like to ask you about your Millwall career, Adrian. Okay. It wasn't long, was it? It was a season and a half, something like that?
Yes, it was. It was. I'd say very short-lived. I think, you know, Kenny Jackett brought me in. Obviously, had a couple of good years with Kenny at Swansea, then went off to Blackpool for a period of time and ended up back with Kenny at Millwall. And I think the one thing I will say for Kenny, he was honest from the outset in that he knew what I would bring to the squad at that time and what the squad needed. And, you know, I'm not going to be disrespectful to myself. You know, I was never technically the most gifted player in the world. But what Kenny knew I would bring to the team was a work rate and an attitude that was needed for the battle that Millwall were facing at the time. He was also honest in saying that the club, I think, had 13 injuries at that period of time. And, you know, he was honest and said that when those players are back fit, I don't necessarily know if I'll find a place for you in the team. And that ultimately was my downfall. Those players became 100% fit again. With me, with the troubles that I had with my knee at the time, I wasn't able to compete with those players. It was time to move on. But what I will say is, although it was a short-lived period of time at the club, it was a period of time that I'm really, really glad that I was fortunate enough to enjoy throughout the course of my career. And it's something that it's a place where I look back at with fond memories, and still have got a lot of good mates that I met whilst I was down there. So, yeah, really, really enjoyed my time there.
Was that a bit difficult for you coming, you know, back to Kenny, seeing as you had a slight fallout? I'll say no more than that, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where, and I think now on the other side of the coin, you know, working at Norwich in a coaching capacity, albeit within the academy, you know, I now understand that managers have to make decisions at that time. And at the time with Swansea, Kenny felt that he wanted to take that midfield or the right-hand side of midfield into a different way. And I didn't fit the bill for him at that time. I loved my time at Swansea, and 100% I did not want to leave there. So it was really disappointing when, you know, Kenny made the decision to move me on. And I was probably at the time probably a bit too vocal, to be honest with you, in expressing my disappointment at that. But I think it speaks volumes about Kenny, the fact that we kept in touch even after that. And that's what obviously came about with the move to Millwall. And I was happy to rekindle that friendship, and that I learned a lot of him. And I was happy to go back and work with him again and learn some more. And, you know, I've definitely served some of the traits that I took on from Kenny. I've definitely taken that into my coaching that I do nowadays with younger players. And for me, it's no surprise to see what Kenny's gone on to achieve, you know, with Millwall and ultimately now with Portsmouth, obviously winning the cup last weekend as well.
Well, you've left something out, and that is what he achieved at Wolves. We've been lucky enough to have some very good managers at Millwall. We've also been unlucky enough to have had some real duffers. And I think...
Are you naming names, Jeff?
No names.
An ex-German just said that. Yeah.
No names. No, some of them I will not take any responsibility for, but we all know who we're talking about. I'm a great admirer of Neil Harris, really firm supporter of Neil. I know that he talks to Kenny. I know he talks to Sean Dyche, who he played with. And I think people should be very patient with Neil. I think we will get out of trouble now. And I think we'll start tomorrow. But I'd like to pay tribute to Kenny Jackett, because Swansea have just come out of the Premier League. The process of turning Swansea round started when they were in danger of going out of the Football League, when Kenny went there.
That is,
right?
That is correct. Yes.
He also went to Wolves from Millwall when they'd just been relegated to the third tier. and his job was to get rid of a lot of players. Get rid is a horrible term, but move on a few players, take money off the wage bill, bring in some transfer fees. Oh, and by the way, he got promoted in one season. And then the next season, I think they got in the playoffs for the Premier League. And then they changed ownership and the Chinese people came in and they wanted to go in a different direction. But they are two mighty achievements by Kenny, and he did something very similar with Millwall as well. He nearly got us to the promised land.
And I think what is really interesting or key to what you've mentioned there is you've got some real different clubs there as well with different ambitions and different financial constraints that they may have been working over. You know, if you go back to the Swansea situation, as you say, had James Thomas not scored that hat-trick to keep them in the Football League the previous season, then Swansea go out of league football, and who knows where they could have been now. But Swansea came in, Kenny came into Swansea, brought in the correct players, and, you know, I was obviously part of that squad, and they went from strength to strength, and all of a sudden you've got a couple of promotions, you're moving into a brand new stadium, and the club has continued to build from there. You can look at what he'd done, go to Wolves as an example, where, you know, the budget I would assume would have been a lot better than what he had when he first went in at Swansea. But ultimately, he again brought in the right personnel to get the right success at that club needed at that time. And I think, you know, you've got to say, give the man a lot of credit, because where he is, wherever he has gone, I feel he's been successful. And ultimately, I'm surprised he's not gone on to manage at some real big clubs, because for me, he does seem to bring relative success to whichever club he goes into.
Absolutely. He's a very talented guy, Adrian. And just finally, turning our attentions to West Brom at the weekend, I'm going to have to put you on the spot, I'm afraid, mate. I need a score prediction. What's going to happen?
Now watch what you say. Yeah.
I'm looking at it from I've got two-sided coin here.
None of this Norwich bias. I'll remind you, Adrian, that you're speaking for me and I'm in a room full of Millwall fans.
Right, well, in that case then, for me, I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm going to take a lot of heart from last week's performance against Leeds, and I like to think that the Millwall squad, obviously led by Neil, will take a lot of heart from last week's performance. So, same performance. A little bit more luck and a bit more belief. Let's go for a 2-1 win for Millwall.
2-1 win for Millwall. You're a popular man, Adrian. Thank you. And I'm still alive. Thank you very much for your time. Adrian Forbes there, the former Millwall midfielder. The rest of the season starts at the weekend, but of course next season is already something we're all thinking about, and season tickets for the next campaign are available now. The prices have been frozen. Clubs introduced a new discount for armed forces personnel who can make the most of reduced rates anywhere in the stadium. Those reduced rates range from £1 a game for under 12 up to £13 a game for adults. And if you're an existing season ticket holder, you have until Monday, 3rd June to renew your seat for the new campaign. So if you want to keep watching the Lions, you can do that. Stay with us here on the Love Sport Millwall Fan Show, because coming up, why can't we buy who we need?
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and no one likes us talking. There is, of course, Premier League action currently going on. It's Southampton 1, Liverpool 1. It's a massive game. The Reds really, really need a win. And at the moment, they're not going to get one. But they have, of course, the fortune of Premier League club, and with that, Premier League riches. They can invest if they want Virgil van Dijk. £75 million, fine. Millwall don't have that luxury, do they?
No. There are some things here that we're talking about. We can't buy our way out like other teams in the Championship. The Championship has changed to a different animal in the last, what I would say, 6, 7 years, 8 years. It's much more. It borders on Premier League 2 now, doesn't it? Certainly at the top half, where the teams, the Wolves of this world, and the Aston Villas. You know, I mean, we got teams that can pull in 40,000 people. And Millwall can't compete with that. That's we have to live within our means, and we do a very good job. You know, and I think we do a marvellous job, to be honest. But it may always mean that we are near the bottom. I mean, what we did last year was marvellous, but I'm not sure we can maintain that for very long.
My view is that we have just in the last few months broken our transfer record twice. right, which stood since 1990, unbelievably. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. It's certainly right. A long time, yeah.
Paul Goddard,
that's
1990.
Right. 700,000, wasn't it?
And 2018, we've gone and beaten it twice. But can I just say, buying players, we haven't got the best record, have we? Sometimes we've...
Are you in there anywhere, Jeff? Are you?
Oh, I've made the odd Rick, I think. But the fact of the matter is, certainly in my day, which, as you all know, is a long time ago, we did manage to produce players that were worth a lot of money. But we didn't do it by buying players, we did it by producing players.
So, Jeff, if you were chairman in a season like this one, where Millwall aren't in the relegation zone, but there's a battle going on, how would you address that? Would you be looking to the transfer market, looking to bring people in, or is that not always the solution?
But in my day, there wasn't this transfer window thing, you see. You could, up till this stage almost, strengthen your team if you needed to.
But would you, regardless of timings, would you be looking to buy?
We did. I've got to give the chairman and the board credit. I mean, they, you know, who would have thought we would have spent over £1 million twice in a week? And I think the truth of the matter was that we paid top dollar for those players, but we had the money coming in because we managed to sell George Saville. So I think they did it right. Time has proved that we probably needed to buy another striker, not just one, but two. At times we have looked as if we didn't have many alternatives in that position. I still felt that personally in January, but I've no doubt they tried for their lives to do something about it. And everyone knows what happened with the Rudi Gusted situation. Incidentally, I think it may have probably worked out for the best. If he didn't want to come that badly, it's unlikely he would have been the answer. Whereas Ryan Leonard wanted to come very badly, and Tom Bradshaw. Is that
yes,
the name?
Yeah, he's injured.
He's been injured for so long, you forget their names. But he obviously wanted to come very badly as well, and that's what you need. So I'm confident whatever happens in the rest of the season, that from what I know of what goes on now, which is very limited, the work on replacing players by bringing in new players, that's been going on for the last 9 months. That won't be, you know... flicking a name out.
That £1 million transfer record, I mean, it's peanuts, isn't it, compared to the rest of the division? I mean, Saville, £8 million. You just can't compete, can you?
Well, Rotherham don't pay it. And
Rotherham
don't play it. And Wigan don't pay it. So I'm afraid, in terms of resources available, we're in that mini league in the bottom third. That's the way it is.
So does that mean that we're always going to be in them bottom, you know, half a dozen clubs because our budget is within the bottom half a dozen?
Absolutely not. Absolutely doesn't mean that at all, because we saw what happened last year. With four games to go, do you know where we were in the league? We're fifth. With four games to go. Yeah. But the point was, we knew that the last four games were all against promotion-chasing teams.
It's not... The thing is, Jules, and we've had this... Me and you have had this discussion practically every day this week. It's, in my opinion, it's just not all about budgets. We get obsessed with budgets, right? I mean, for example, last season, I mean, everyone raves about Wolves, right? They was losing £1 million a week last season. Mm. And the only thing that saved them was they got promoted, right? You've got, look what's happened to Birmingham. Look what's happening to these other clubs, and they're all getting caught out now. But where I think, and I've said this before, you know, we keep on saying that, you know, Millwall's a special club. You've got to have a certain mentality to play there. And I don't disagree with that. And Neil Harris knows that only too well. And I remember listening to Phil Brown, the former Southend manager, when he was giving an interview, and he was talking about Millwall and Neil Harris, and he said, of all the players that he ever knew, Phil Brown, that played for Millwall, every single one of them told him to play there, you've got to have a special mentality. So not everyone's got it. But the thing is, we keep saying, well, we've got to sign this bloke, we've got to sign that bloke, right? The problem is how do we... Because what we don't know is we don't know the whole story. That guest there, or whatever his name is, all right, he's probably worked out, but he didn't want to come. And it was another player who didn't want to come. Now, the question is, you know, Neil made the point in, at the time, why is it they want to play reserve team football, not first team football, right? But what I'm saying is, but then, all right, but I think, for example, when we paid all this money for Bradshaw, the thing that I couldn't get my head round, they made a big deal about breaking a transfer record. He comes in, he's sitting on the bench every week. £1 million striker is sitting on the bench every week. And you think, well, what's all that about?
Plus, we spent a lot of time in the summer trying to get Bradshaw.
Yeah, yeah.
So it went all the way through the summertime,
yeah,
until we got to the Savile time. And
that's
when we had sold Savile, and it all become a little bit desperate.
Yeah. And when Borough come in for Savile, I've got no doubt, Harry said to him, look, you can have Savile when I get a replacement for him. And if I don't get a replacement, he ain't going anywhere.
And also, Stan, you brought up that example of Birmingham, which is a very good one, because there is an element of be careful what you wish for. If you go and spend willy-nilly, either you can endanger the football of the future of your club, like Bolton has ended up being, although that wasn't really through transfer activity, but like Birmingham, you can end up with points deductions
I was writing an article the other day, and I pointed out, I think it was Bristol City last season, their wage bill went from about £12 million last season to about £20 million with signings, right? Now, but the thing is, and Jeff said, and I agree with him, right, but I think this is a problem, though, where we've had these players in from the past. The thing is, I always say, right, the criticism I have against Neil Harris is simply this. He was bought by Billy Bonds from non-league, right? He never had any Football League experience.
So he should be looking down there.
Yeah, but he was brought in, but Billy Bonds gave him his chance. Right, we keep hearing about all these young kids we got, right? But they're not given the chance. I'm not talking about you throwing three kids in a game.
No, but
you
just
could put one on for half an hour. But they're not given a chance. And I've said on Twitter, I've said to Neil Harris, well, why don't you do what Billy Bonds did to you and give one of these kids a chance?
Well, this is the role of the manager, to pick the team, to tweak things. And coming up, we're going to be trialling a new feature which talks about exactly that. It's time for Fan in the Dugout.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow and George Lampy, Stan Godwin, Patricia Maslin and former Millwall chairman Jeff Burnage. All of No One Likes Us talking here in the studio. I can confirm that Ted Robinson is not with us. And we have an update on Ellis Barr's garden. As we've mentioned over the past 2 weeks, Ellis's garden is uneven and not suitable for her to play in. It needs levelling, artificial grass and some raised beds installed. She can't use her own garden due to her limited walking. Can you help her enjoy her garden by herself? Not only will it be amazing for her to be able to play in a place she never thought she'd be able to play in, but it'll also help massively with her physiotherapy and exercise to gain strength as part of her rehab. After 4 months, it's just 33% of the total needed has been raised. We need £6,500, and if you own a company that could help with the work, please do get in touch. To donate, you can go to Ellis's Just Giving crowd funding page. That's a wonderful cause which we urge you to get involved with, if you can, of course. And we have a new feature.
No, I just wanted to say I spoke with Elise's dad today, Joe, and he just wanted me to pass on that Elise is doing really well with her physio. It's unbelievable how nothing phases her. She has her moments, but mustn't forget that she's only 7 years old. And Joe wanted me to pass on a big thank you to everyone for all their support. A special shout out to Jed Wallace and the club and the West Ham fans who have been backing him all the way.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff. So if you can help there, get involved. And there's been a massive goal in the Premier League title race. It's Liverpool 2, Southampton 1. Mo Salah, he's been off the boil, but he's still the talisman. He gave them the lead. But it's time for a new feature. Team, it's called Fan in the Dugout. We've talked about Neil Harris, the boss. He has to pick the team each week, and this new feature is simple. We get one of you, our listeners, No One Likes Us Talking fans, on the line, and you get to suggest three changes from last time out, this time at Elland Road, which you think would help get a result against West Brom. So I'm delighted to say our first ever, our inaugural Fan in the Dugout is Dave Hart, Millwall fan. Evening, Dave. Thanks ever so much for joining us. You've got three changes. What are they going to be?
Three changes from Saturday. OK. I haven't actually got three. I've got two.
Two will do. Two will do.
He can't count up to three.
Jules knows me from old. I'd move... This might sound a bit radical, but I'd move Marshall to left back, taking Meredith out, and I play Aiden on the left up front.
Okay, what do we make of that?
Well, I think you lose a little bit there, David. I'm sorry. I know you can put Marshall at the back there, but I think he is a proper winger, so to speak, and I think Aiden isn't a proper winger. As much as I like the boy, I just don't think he is, actually. I don't know what the other guys think.
Well, I tend to agree with you in terms of...
Aiden?
I forget his name.
Meredith?
No, the other... The bloke... Marshall, yeah.
Marshall.
I can never remember his bloody name, sorry. Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you because Marshall is, I think, he's a more forward-looking player. It's a bit like Ferguson for me. Ferguson can play left back, but I always think he's better up front.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I think that's the same with Marshall.
I haven't got an opinion. I tell you why. My time on the board, 23 years on the board, never ever try and second guess what the manager thinks. He's with them 7 days a week. He's going to know more than what we know. So, no. Yeah. He picks who he picks. If they're wearing a Millwall shirt, I'm with them.
Okay. And Dave, do you have an opinion? What was the second change you were going to make?
Well, if anyone went to the game last week, they would see that Meredith was completely overrun every time Leeds came forward. Marlon was, to a certain extent, but Leeds play a system where when they're coming down the wing, they've got two players on the wing back. It's really quite impressive to watch. And Meredith, just he can't handle one, let alone two. And, yeah, everything came down that side. But if you're going to... I'll take... Meredith doesn't... He's not playing well. He's not the player we had last year. So you need to get someone in there that's going to actually make a difference. And if you're going to go with Meredith on Saturday, tomorrow, then we are not going to get anything out of this game.
He seems to have had a dip in form from last year, don't he, Dave? I mean,
he's had a dip in form for several games, George.
But, I mean, he looked last year like a real quality player, didn't he?
He certainly did.
And that doesn't seem to be the case this season. I don't know why. If I'm honest, at times he's looked like he's not fit to me. I don't know what you think.
He's not got the pace. He doesn't read the game well now. Everything's just, it's either dive in and, you know, free kicks, lose the ball. You know, it's just horrible to watch. It's really not good.
Dave, so would you stick with Romeo on the right?
I would stick with Romeo. Romeo's a much better player at the Den.
Yeah, look, Dave, it's Jeff here. Can I just point out, Meredith wasn't on the field when we let in two late goals. So you're being harsh because the coming down their right, our left, that's when it happened, when he wasn't there. But on the other hand, he is the player that Neil will most often take off at any stage of a game. He's regularly the one that gets yanked off. So Neil obviously is not entirely happy with him. Who knows what the reason is, but he was the League One left back of the year when we signed him. He was brilliant last season. Let's just hope he has six or seven brilliant games to finish the season with.
He is our weakest link at the moment.
Do you agree with that, Jeff?
Well, Dave, I'm very interested by the changes you're proposing. Some people enjoying them in the studio, some not so much. But I'm going to have to put you on the spot, I'm afraid. I need a score prediction against West Brom, regardless of your setup.
Okay. It'll be Millwall 3, West Brom 1.
Oh, he's a confident man. Wonderful stuff. Dave, thanks ever so much for joining us. David Hart there, who's our first ever fan in the dugout. There's been a big goal at Liverpool again. It's Liverpool 3, Southampton 1. It's looking safe for them now. And coming up, we'll be previewing that West Bromwich Albion game.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with Johnny Burrow and George Lampy, Stan Godwin, Patricia Maslin, founding member of the Lionesses, and former Millwall chairman Jeff Burnage. They're all of No One Likes Us Talking. I'm going to make the same bad joke, which is that I do. And it's that point in the show where we look ahead to the next game, which is West Brom. They're promotion chasing. They had an encouraging result recently. But are you confident?
Yes. I think we're going to win 2-1.
You should have seen her face when she said yes. It didn't look like a yes was coming there.
I mean, West Brom are one of the better teams in the division. You know, I mean, obviously, getting rid of their manager only recently, I can't believe that.
It is,
isn't it? Oh, crazy decision. And I think he was not only a decent manager, I think he's a very nice man into the bargain. So,
yeah.
But I think West Brom are one of the better teams. I don't think we can afford tomorrow to be playing anything but at our best, because I think they're a dangerous team. And I think it's going to be a very hard game for us, actually. I don't know what the guys are thinking here, sitting here. But...
Well, I think it's winnable, all right, providing we do the right things at the right time. But it's going to be a hard game because West Brom are a team that's up there. But mind you, they might have done us a favour because, to me, when they got rid of Darren Moore, absolute madness. Absolute madness.
Yeah.
We've got a chance.
It's a honeymoon period at the moment, don't they, with the new manager.
We've got a hell of a chance in every home game. So I'm optimistic as well. We'll give anybody a game there. When our crowd decide they are with us, with those players, with the manager, we take a lot of holding. Do you not think that if we can beat the likes of Everton at home, that we can't beat West Brom? You're having a laugh.
No, we can.
We are going to win. We're going to win tomorrow.
You can.
You can see why he was a chairman.
I know. I'm amazed. Yeah. I'm in awe.
We're going to win tomorrow.
You know when you said we have some duff managers?
Don't say duff chairman.
Put it this way. I'm a strong candidate.
No, I mean...
Somebody said we've got the Docker stand, we've got the Barry Kitchener stand, we've got the Cobra. We should name the visiting team's stand. And someone said, someone really unpopular. Yeah. And my name came up.
Yeah, you were selling that to Trevor Lee and Phil Walker. I see, you're the DVD.
I think we'll win tomorrow.
But you're right what you're saying, Jeff. But you see, it goes back to, again, funnily enough, to our old mate Kenny Jackett, because Kenny Jackett always maintained, and I make him absolutely 100% right, when he turns around and says, you know, it's for the team, to bring the crowd into play.
Yes.
And if we're going to play like... If we play like we did against Everton, then that's fine.
Yep.
I've got absolute, but that's what we've got to do, that and better.
I agree. Look, I think the other thing we need to bear in mind is that... I've already said earlier in the programme what a fan of Neil's I am. He took over at a terrible time. We'd just been through the era of a previous manager who didn't do as well as we all hoped. I'm choosing my words carefully.
Very, very carefully.
Was he one of the duff ones, Jack?
I'm choosing my words carefully. He didn't do as well as we all hoped. And a lot of people thought it was a great appointment, by the way.
I did. Right? I sat there on his press conference and I thought, this guy is going to make Millwall rock.
We got back up in 1 year from that disaster. And then we got close to the playoffs in another year, right? I'd be very, very surprised if we end up going down. I think there's loads of character in that team, real togetherness. It is going to be a hard game tomorrow, but I think we're a match for anybody at the Den. I really do.
And Jeff, from a chairman's point of view, I agree that I don't think Millwall will go down, but if they were to, how does that rebuilding process work? Or is it not a rebuilding process at all? It's a question of consolidating what you've got.
I've got a Theresa May answer.
So you're going to dodge the question?
We're not planning to go down. We're staying up.
And relegation means relegation, and we're all very strong and very stable.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to pick up a point Stan made about giving young players a chance. When Neil was doing his apprenticeship as a manager, he was under-21 manager, right? And he had reason to believe that he had players good enough in that team to go in and do something at League One level. And he used Fred. And he used Ben Thompson, and he used Aidan O'Brien, all of whom were in his under-21 team, right? Yeah. But we're now in the Championship.
And you can't adopt the same policy quite so easily in the Championship.
Same policy, yeah, but it's much more difficult. And the standard of player has to be much higher to get them into the team in the Championship.
I don't disagree with any of that. I don't disagree with any of that. But the problem is, and I read what was his name, Scott Fitzgerald said the other day, and this is the issue, right? You don't matter what football club you are, what youth system you have, right? Chelsea have got 40-odd players out on loan.
Yep.
Right, so what I'm saying is, and Scott Fitzgerald's spot on, right, even though we're in the Championship and I accept it at a high level and all that, I mean, all that's a given, but you've got to try and when these kids are coming to Millwall, and you would know this better than me, Jeff, right, they've got to be able to see a pathway into that first team. And it's no good saying, oh, yeah, but when we're in the first division, we are, mate, you can make it. But when we get into the Championship, it's a different ball game. Because that's no good. Because, again, I was watching the other day, I was watching it last week, they interviewed two central defenders, I think it was from Preston. And they were like youth team players, right? And they was out on loan like Sid and whatever. They're the central pins of the thing. This season, two Norwich players, youth team, they're there.
The bottom line,
they've got to be given a chance.
The bottom line, Stan, is yes, they have to be given the chance, but two, they've got to be good enough.
Well, that's right, yeah. But you won't know until you get them. You won't know that until you play them.
No,
that's
you
what
should.
I'm saying.
No, you should know.
Except you've got to have a good idea.
You should know.
Isn't the future looking good? We signed eight youngsters last week.
That's
we signed them on.
Yep.
They've got this Harry Ramson, is it, from Eastbourne?
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, he makes fish and chips, doesn't he?
You've had that joke.
No, but I mean,
so it's
is he
not
really
looking
Harry?
Bad, is it?
No, yeah. That's right. I mean, you're right, Pat. But what I'm saying is, and it's like all these things. I mean, like the other day, I was down at the Valley watching Millwall Charlton, right? The under 23s. Now, there's a.
You're scouting for Neil, was you? You know,
oh, absolutely. Well, in actual fact, it was the first time in 51 years I actually see witness a Charlton team beating us. Albeit, yeah, it's the first time in 51 years that happened for me. But anyway, it's another story. But what I'm saying is, so some of them players, both sides, because they get to a certain level, they won't make it and whatever. I mean, I get all that, and that's the way it always is, and will always be that way. But what I'm saying is, although we've signed eight and that's good, and right, but nevertheless you want to see at least if I don't know a couple of them, and I'm just
I would say to you then why haven't we seen some of these young fellas playing in, you know, even if they're in the reserve, not in the reserves but in the substitutes, and then they come on the pitch for 10-15 minutes. We've hardly seen any of this
at all. Yeah,
because we're in the bottom six. And
right.
that's not when you put young players in the team.
So then it comes full circle that you can do what you can do in League One, you can't do so
but
easily
okay,
in
but
the
then,
Championship.
But then, all right.
And you can't do it even less if you're in the bottom five, say.
Yeah, but then let me just say this. If, for example, right, we stay up this year. We do that, right? Okay, so we wipe the slate clean next season. Now, are we going to be turning up on the opening day of the season seeing some kids play? Unlikely. But what I'm saying is that, to an extent, that's a stock in trade answer. Oh, they've got to be good enough. I accept they've got to be good enough. But what I'm saying is these academies set up, they're not as good as the old South East counties, in my opinion.
Johnny wouldn't know nothing about
no,
that.
No, well, okay. But what I'm saying is if you've got a player there, one of these kids, like, for example, this kid we've signed from Eastbourne,
yeah.
Right? If he's playing on half a dozen games, and Neil Harris, whoever it is, who's sitting here watching all the manager, says, well, I think he's ready to play in the first team, right? Or be given a chance. I don't mean 90 minutes every week.
No.
Then Neil Harris has then got to say, OK, then he's got to be bold.
They're always
fortune favours the bold.
They will always come in gradually, though, won't they?
Sometimes you get a combination of brilliant recruiting and coaching and a bit of luck, and it goes in cycles. And,
true.
You know, when we got to that team that got to the Auto Windscreens final, I was very involved in it, we had something like six players who'd played less than 20 league games in that final. And we didn't play Paul Shaw, for example. We dragged Richard Sadlier back from the Far East on the Friday, right? But it's Neil's judgment whether those players are ready. And at the moment, we're talking about under-18 players. There are not many of those playing in the Championship anywhere in the Championship.
No.
I personally think, and I haven't seen the youth team play as much as I used to, nothing like, but for us to have signed eight players on pro contracts, someone is showing a bit of faith in those players.
It's
I'm
an
telling
exciting
you.
Time, and it'll be first of all exciting against West Brom. Just quickly, I need a prediction from all of you. Just a score, Pat. What are you saying?
2-1 to Millwall.
2-1 Millwall. Stan?
Yeah, 2-1 Millwall.
2-1 Millwall. Jeff?
1-0.
1-0. Everyone's going Millwall. George,
2-2.
Don't ruin it. Oh, I said he just had this look in his eyes. Well, I'll say 5-0 Millwall and balance it up. Join us next week on the Millwall Fan Show.
Just you to ruin it, George. It's too old.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.